This is the Tom Likas Show.
Everything you say is the fucking truth, man.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
There's no doubt about it.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. 24-7 at globeuptop.com. You can hear us on our brand new free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you and me. And another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And in this bonus hour, we are joined by criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Tom.
What's going on?
Well, we're definitely going to do criminal tonight, I promise. But I've got to say a word or two about the lady from the Big Bang Show.
Yes.
That's Kaylee Cuoco.
Kaylee Cuoco.
She's apparently from Thousand Oaks, I think, which is very exciting because that's pretty close to where I live. And I know that everyone's jumping for joy that she's, you know, talking about her ex is going to get alimony from her. And that's a fascinating possibility. They do have a apparently some kind of a prenuptial agreement. You see how it settles in, where first they filed for divorce and it's going to be friendly and it's no big deal and everything's all worked out. And then, you know, you see as a couple of weeks and months go by, people start to sit there with a calculator. Remember that conversation, Tom?
Right.
How much you could get?
Right. And by the way, in this case, just as to keep the record straight, they just announced their separation on September 25th, which is about 25 days ago.
Right.
And in this particular case, my understanding, and I could be wrong, but my understanding is that she filed. She made the decision to file.
Right.
She made the decision to leave. And I don't know if they thought it was all worked out or not, but he obviously decided it's not all worked out. So what happens? They've got a prenuptial agreement, and presumably it says that whatever he earns during the marriage, he keeps. Whatever she earns,
right,
she keeps. Now, are they still overturning those now or what?
Yes, of course. But I think what's very interesting, and I know it's been about a month and all, like you said, but I think it's exactly what we talked about. I have this weird feeling, this is just a speculative opinion, that he went to talk to a lawyer, because, you know, that's the right thing to do. And he said to the lawyer, you know, I just want to walk away. I don't want anything. That's what we've agreed. And the lawyer said, okay, but I got to show you what you're potentially giving up here, okay? And she's worth something like $50 million, and he's worth like $2 million. Which is a lot, I guess, but, you know, compared to 50 and so forth. And she gets $1 million in episodes, which is astounding. But anyway, so the bottom line is, this goes very much connected, Tom, because you're always ahead of the curve, to the whole issue of the disease view of drug addiction. From what I read, and this is published in a few places, she was, you know, madly in love with him or whatever, and he's the perfect guy. But he had some kind of a drug problem, and she was going to try to ride it out or something, and she realized finally, tragically, that he's never going to change, and he's got a really serious problem. And, you know, you see all these things with people going to rehab and stuff. I mean, addiction is really awful, and it's very, very hard to deal with. Now, if there is a prenuptial agreement, and there probably is, it seems to be the saying that there is, and I got to assume she probably did it well and correctly. One of the things that might work to get it set aside, or at least partially, could be if he was disabled. How do you like that, Tom?
Disabled?
Yes. Now, if we count, and this is a big question about drug addiction, right? One of the famous things that I've always heard you say, and I think you were talking about this last week or the week before, how you have no sympathy and you don't want to hear it, and it's all bullshit, you know? But when you talk about the modern thinking about drug addiction, is that the person has a disease and they're disabled and they have some kind of a problem. And if we go down that road, then I would say that her ex-husband might actually be able to score some alimony outside of the prenuptial agreement. That might be his in. He might say, look, I know I'm not supposed to get anything. I know we agreed to no alimony, but look at me, poor me. I have this horrible disability, addiction, and I can't help myself. And so I'm going to take years to recover from my disease, and it's like having cancer or whatever. You know, it's not my fault, and it's nothing I did to myself, and the heroin, you know, sort of jumped into the needle and jumped into my arm while I was sleeping, you know? And so I need, you know, to get money from her in order to help myself. And that actually could find a sympathetic ear in the right circumstances in family court.
Couldn't it also be argued that they got married awfully quickly? Didn't they get married like in days or weeks after they met or something like that? I mean,
she doesn't seem like the brightest person in the world. Did you ever see her interviewed?
I have. I've seen worse. I've seen the entire Kardashian family, and that's even worse.
It also shows you how desperately women want to get married, right?
Right.
I mean, she was meeting him and marrying him, and he's perfect, and case closed, thank you very much. So what can I tell you?
Right.
And it shows you a lot of guys lust after her because she's hot and all this, and somewhere, somehow, there's a guy who's sick and tired of her, and apparently divorcing her, even if she started it, who knows?
Right, but I do believe she started this. I believe she filed. And the gossip, and I'm going to term it as gossip because I do believe I saw it on gossip websites, but sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire. Who knows? But some of the gossip websites said that once she got with him, she decided she wanted somebody with a job, and he'd won one tennis tournament, and they keep calling him professional tennis player.
A long, long time ago.
Right.
It's fascinating.
And now you know how guys feel, Kaylee.
Well, it's amazing how women are always talking about all this soulmate and love and romance and this unbelievable chemistry connection. And then all of a sudden they realize the guy's a loser. And then all of a sudden all that love and desire is just gone. How can that be?
Well, most of these guys tend to be losers with 14-inch personalities.
Yeah, but even that doesn't carry you for very long.
Well, had less than 2 years, and maybe. Who knows?
Well, it shows you that there's definitely this sort of hot moment at the beginning when you meet the new person and you're excited.
I just knew he was the one.
And then it kind of diminishes over time. So if I'm not mistaken, that's the Costco principle, right, Tom? Take the samples.
Right.
Enjoy that.
But don't ever buy 10 pounds of Gino's pizza rolls.
That's right. Don't buy the pizza rolls. So on to criminal law. There is a funny show that I found, Tom, a little obscure, and it's named after me, so I appreciate it very much. It's called Adam Ruins Everything. And this guy is hilarious. It's not me. It's a guy named Adam. And he talks about different things that people believe that aren't true and so forth. And this relates very much to criminal law. He was talking about the way that police are trained to question people and question witnesses. And it's fascinating because they're talking about the theory of memory. Now, I've said right in the beginning, you're only going to lose talking to the police. You never talk to the police. People just tell me, well, I thought I could. I was going to talk my way out of it and stuff. People also believe fictional things. For example, that the police can't lie to you. Or, and one of my favorites is, if you ask someone if they're a policeman, you got to love that. So, in other words, if you're buying drugs or you're with a prostitute or you're doing something illegal and the person who's working on it with you, the prostitute, let's say, if you say to her, are you a policewoman? Then apparently, according to the myth, she has to say yes. And if she is a policewoman and she says no, then she has lied to you and then the arrest is no good or something like that. That's not true. Police have every right to lie to you. In fact, the opposite is a problem. If you lie, particularly to the federal government, so if you're being questioned by the FBI, they could tell you all kinds of false things. But if you lie to them, that's a serious offense. And you get into a lot of trouble for that. And a lot of people have been convicted of lying to the FBI. But it's really interesting to see that what he was talking about with memory is that memory is not like a recorder. It's not like a video recorder or a tape recorder. But memory is most closely analogized to being a Wikipedia page. Now think about that, Tom. That's really interesting. If memory is a Wikipedia page, then what that means is that it's subject to changes and editing. And so when the police talk to someone, especially this is true of witnesses, there is things that they can say to that person which are highly suggestible. And that will lead a person to think certain things and confuse that person. And that person can start to think that that's the memory even when it's not. So that's kind of like this example. When you were a child, you set the cat on fire, or you put your mother's clothes in the bathtub or something. And your parents tell you that story so many times when you're older that you think you remember it from when you were a child. But the truth is you don't. The truth is you remember the thing that they told you, and you actually can start to have a real connection to that memory that actually makes it seem really true. And some people are certainly more suggestible than others. I know we've seen a lot of cases where, for example, women believed that they had been molested or they had been in satanic rituals or something because they had some kind of crazy feminist therapist who was telling them these things. And one of the things that's fascinating is that by talking to the police very often, the police will say things to kind of lean you towards the person that they already suspect. The police are very quick to get someone and say, okay, that's the guy, just like on South Park with the officer Bar Brady. It's him, case closed. And then they want to have the witnesses line up. And so instead of showing you different suspects or whatever, they'll start to say to you, the guy you saw, he was a blonde, right? Was he blonde? He was blonde, right? And you start going, I guess so. Yeah, I guess he was blonde. And that matches because they have a blonde guy under arrest. And what ends up happening later is that the person ends up pointing out this person that was highly recommended and suggested to them by the police as being the suspect. And the person, actually the eyewitness, believes it, even though it may not be true. It could be a programmed memory. Now, this doesn't mean that the police are brainwashing you, and it doesn't mean that they're torturing you, but they're suggesting to you to kind of do things the way they want them to be. And that's why when you're on the receiving end, which is the other side, you got to keep your mouth shut, because it's really true that whatever you say is going to hurt you. I had a really interesting thing happen today. One of my clients in the past had a DUI, and I worked on it with him, and he wasn't into going all the way. He was like kind of afraid that we could lose and take a risk. So we ended up making a deal, and I got him to plead guilty to a much lower offense, which was a wet reckless. So that's not much as serious as a real DUI. And whatever, he got some, you know, fines and some classes. And today, he got in the mail, you're going to love this, Tom, a bill for about $1,500, which is the cost of the police arresting him. Did you get that?
Yeah, I did.
How's that for insult to injury, you know?
Well, aren't a lot of these financially crimped communities now trying to get back at people that way?
Hell yeah. I was thinking about, I remember you told me this, Tom, that in radio stations, they had they had a department that would try to get revenue through unusual means. What did they call that?
Non-traditional revenue, NTR.
Thank you. Non-traditional revenue, NTR. So here you have these cities, like Tom said, that are absolutely strapped for cash, right? And they're looking at the situation. Now, the cruelest thing that ever happened in communist China during the Cultural Revolution is they would arrest your loved one, like your father or your husband or your wife or whatever. They would kill them, and they would send you a picture of, you know, your dead relative. You don't even know where they were buried or what they were charged with. And the picture would have a bill with it, and they would bill you for the bullet. You actually had to pay the government back, you know, whatever, a few dollars, for the bullet that they used that cost them the bullet to kill your family member. And that was the sickest possible cruel thing you could think of, right? So here, you actually have to pay, and I've seen them pay court costs, but here you have to pay the cost of the police that arrested you and investigated you and humiliated you and put the cuffs on you. And as Tom was saying, this is like non-traditional revenue for these cities that are absolutely desperate to try to get money from any angle they can try. So they try to bill you back. And it's amazing how things are getting to be very financially much like that. If you look at the costs and the costs associated with tickets and so forth, that money is actually very, very important to city budgets. I mean, the counties and the cities across the country are feeling tremendous financial pressure. And so they're trying to find ways of getting money. And believe it or not, the revenue from just traffic tickets and DUIs and whatnot is very, very, very big. One of the things that this show talked about that I mentioned before was really interesting is they were talking about fingerprints and other kinds of forensic evidence. And he actually says in the show that, you know, this theory that everyone has a unique fingerprint is based on something from like the 1800s that was postulated by some English guy. And it turns out, sit down everybody, that that is not true. That believe it or not, people can have the same fingerprint. And in fact, there was a terrorist attack in Spain some years ago after 9/11. They bombed the commuter trains in Spain and they ended up getting fingerprints and they from the scene and they arrested a guy in America who was actually a lawyer who had never been to Spain, but they arrested him because his fingerprints matched, if you can believe that. And that's sort of like the thing that they say about no two snowflakes are the same. That's not true. There are many, many millions of patterns of snowflakes, but some of them actually can be the same. And so a lot of things that people take as received wisdom are not necessarily right. That's why you always have to look at circumstances. And one of the reasons, you know, you have people that are lawyers, for example, and the reason you really need a lawyer when you're in legal trouble is because a lot of it is human, a lot of it is unpredictable. And you go in front of a judge, and circumstances, you never know exactly what's going to happen. And when you are coming in blind and you don't have experience in it, you're representing yourself or whatever, you know, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get beat up. One of the things that's really interesting that they talk about also in some of these kinds of shows is the polygraph exam. You know, a lot of people take polygraphs, and this is something that is used, you know, widely in the military and in police departments, and companies have loss prevention where they think their employees may have stolen from them. And the polygraph machine is junk science. It's junk science. In fact, the person who invented it said that it was crap, and it's known to be absurd. It's not a science at all. That's why it's not generally admissible in court. And the reality is that, you know, it's used extensively in various different circumstances, and it's taken very seriously. And, you know, it's got a lot of dials, and it's got those little, you know, things that make, like, the needle on the paper or whatever. So it looks really scientific, looks very, very, you know, interesting. It's really doing something. But the truth is it's not. And there are people who are very experienced at, you know, beating it. And you see these cases where particularly the government had people in the CIA and FBI that were spies or that were doing all kinds of crazy illegal things, and they were able to pass the polygraph exam, which is like given every half a year, every year. They were able to pass it repeatedly without any problems at all because it's crap. It's junk science.
Wow. All right.
There you go.
There you go. It's Adam Sachs, criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. He's here to answer your legal questions, whatever they might be, okay? Whether you've been accused of a crime, whether you maybe you did it, maybe you didn't do it. Okay, maybe they can't prove you did it. All right, whatever it is, if you've got legal questions, if you're in some kind of legal mess, Adam is here with free legal advice for you right now. And all you have to do to get in touch with Adam is call this number. It's going to put you right face-to-face, or at least phone-to-phone, with Adam right here, right now. All you do is call this number. 901-3000-TOM. That's the number. 901-3000-TOM. Call me right now, and I'll put you on with Adam at 901-3000-TOM. 866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Hey, it's another boys' night out. It's going to be our first ever Halloween costume bash at Dames and Games Topless Sports Bar in Van Nuys. Oh, my God. It's the night before Halloween. It's Friday night, October 30th at 9 p.m. That way you'll have Halloween free to take your bastard children out trick-or-treating. We thought ahead on this. There's going to be plenty of zombie cheerleader strippers. Don't take your kids to that, by the way. Blood-sucking Wyketts. You know what we mean. And the best costume contest. You're going to come in costume. And the best costume is going to win a $500 grand prize. And by the way, teams and games, they lifted all the restrictions. You can wear a full mask. You can have full face paint. You do what it takes to win that contest, boys and girls. Dames and Games features a topless stage and a go-go stage, private dance areas, a full menu, tons of flat screens, and more. For details, go to our website, blowmeuptom.com, and click on the Dames and Games logo. That's blowmeuptom.com. All right, 901-3000, Tom. That is our telephone number. Adam Sachs is here. Criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs joins us for a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And here we go with your call, Steve. And is that San Bernardino? I hope so. Hello.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Adam.
Steve, hey, are you Steve. In San Bernardino or San Bernardo?
Rancho Bernardo.
Thank you.
That's even better.
I'm reading it straight off the screen, and that's what Dean J. D'Amelio typed.
Yeah, I got the Bernardo right. I fucked up on the sand.
Yeah, a little typo there on the first part. But.
Yeah, close enough.
Anyway, Adam, my question for you
is, of course.
You always talk about how if you get pulled over and for drunk driving, that you should never do the breathalyzer test. You should get the blood test.
Yes, I want to know this turned out to be very controversial, but that's really how I feel. I don't know what to say.
Well, the question is, if you do that, when they do the blood test, is alcohol the only thing they test for?
Right, of course. You know, what's nice about it is that, generally speaking, by the time they get you to the hospital or to wherever they're doing the blood test, it's a few hours later. So that's a great thing because your body would have metabolized more of the alcohol. I don't know to tell you how many of the people that I've helped that were right on the borderline between legal and illegal. And if they had waited another 30 minutes or an hour, it would have been legal. Or they got nailed for being, you know, right on the edge, 0.08 or 0.09. Generally speaking, when they do the test, I know what you mean. There are blood tests that test for all kinds of things. They have one test that does alcohol and marijuana and, you know, whatever else, cocaine. But when they do the test that they're supposed to do for alcohol, when they pull you over, like you say, that's should be alcohol only.
But now that brings up a very interesting question. Let's say they're testing for more than alcohol and they find that you're using heroin, or they find that maybe you ate a poppy seed bun this morning and it appears you've been using heroin. Can they use that evidence against you?
No.
They can't.
The way that they get you for heroin and marijuana, whatever else, generally is because you have possession of it. There isn't really any kind of agreed to amount. I've had this with marijuana cases in particular. They did tests. They thought the guy was on marijuana, and they show, you know, some kind of a thing like, you know, the amount of content in his blood and so forth. But there's no agreement as to intoxication. The way it works, you know, with alcohol is by weight, and it's 0.08 or higher is illegal, 0.07 or lower is legal. There's nothing like that for heroin or for marijuana or whatever. So generally speaking, when they smell marijuana or they think you're on drugs or whatever, they'll search your car, and then they find a bottle of Vicodin or whatever, and that's how they nail you for driving and, you know, under the influence of that sort of drug. Alcohol is unique in itself, completely different.
Okay, how about this? How about marijuana in a different form? Like, you got your open vape or some edibles.
Right.
Is possession of those illegal?
Well, you know the story. It's different in different states. But generally speaking, as you know, in several states, including California, marijuana can be legal if you have a prescription for it. And then there are a few other states where it's just legal, period. Like Colorado, for example. Now, this is obviously something that the states are trying to grapple with now. Obviously, what's happening with it, you know, people are using it at their house. It's one thing, but obviously people are also going to be using it while they're driving and so forth. You know, the cop used to smell marijuana, and that was it. They would, you know, take your whole car and you and everything else to jail. But now, because, you know, the cop might say, you know, what's going on? Are you high? Are you getting high? And you show them your prescription card, and they're going to have to deal with it in a different way. So, you know, that has a lot to do with the circumstances. I mean, a lot of people are driving erratically, or they're swerving in and out of lanes, or obviously they get into some kind of a car accident or do something really unsafe. Then, you know, people, well, all of a sudden they're going to say, wait a minute, this is a problem. Obviously, you were on drugs and you were high and it was influencing you to drive poorly. But that's the same situation. When you think about all these different kinds of drugs, it's going to be a problem if you use them when you're driving. So it's certainly not advised. There are some people, like we know, that smoke marijuana all day long. So a lot of it's going to be subjective. When the police officer pulls you over, and he's going to talk to you, and, you know, he's going to shine the light in your face, and he's going to see how you're reacting. And, you know, if you can keep a straight face, you might be okay. But just generally speaking, when people are drunk or people are high, you know, they start, you know, slurring their speech and doing strange things. And that's why they want you to do that thing when you walk the line or you touch your nose and all that stuff. That's a test. People always tell me, I did the field sobriety test and I think I passed or whatever. Let me tell you something. You didn't pass. There's no way. There is no way. Yes, you are not going to pass that test. That's just bullshit. I don't know. Anyone who tells me that, yeah. I think I passed. No, you didn't. There's no way.
And there's not even a scoring system for that. How would you know if you passed?
Believe me.
It's subjective.
The cop is going to be absolutely sure that you failed. And so that's the same thing with relative, you know, to marijuana or whatever. That's why what I started up saying, which is really true, is you gotta be polite, but you have to say nothing, and you have to not cooperate. And it doesn't matter what people talk to me about. As long as you want, for as many years as you want, as many ways that you want to debate this with me, I have a lot of people that call me and debate this with me, and I don't mind, but there's no two ways about it.
All right, that's a nice long pregnant pause. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, I don't know what else to say.
Speaking of marijuana, I happen to follow High Times Magazine on Twitter.
I see.
And here's a story that came over today, that on Monday, meaning yesterday, as we're doing the show live, U.S. District Judge Charles Breyer slapped down the Drug Enforcement Administration with a verdict damning the agency for continuing to bust down the doors of the medical marijuana community, even though an amendment attached to last year's government budget prevent such actions. The decision, which is reportedly the first ever by a federal judge to stand up for state marijuana laws, argues that that amendment we're talking about clearly prevents the Justice Department from spending money to crack skulls in states Great. That have established medical marijuana programs. Now, this has been a controversy over the last couple of years. States like California have legalized pot, in our case, for medical purposes, and federal agencies and even presidents have said, we don't care what your state says. We're going to overrule that, and we're coming in if that's what we feel like doing.
Right.
And now a judge says, you can't do that.
It's very interesting because obviously we have this system where we have states, and then we have their laws, and then we have the federal government, and those laws are considered superior. So when a state does something, for example, making marijuana legal or decriminalized or whatever, the federal government is still separate. You know, last year, the year before, in the marijuana stores, you could use a Visa card. And now a lot of them are pulling back on that and demanding cash only because they were being discriminated from the banking system, that banks wouldn't give them accounts or wouldn't let them use cards, or they weren't allowed to accept cards or process the money because of federal issues. I mean, you look at the way the government is sort of schizophrenic in this way, where you have two ways of thinking. You have the federal and the state, and they're very much in conflict. And my understanding from, you know, these marijuana stores is they get harassed by the police and by the federal police, which is like, you know, the FBI and so forth. And it's very interesting that this judge said, you know, knock it off. That's not fair. That we have a law in California saying it's okay, and then all of a sudden we're like harassing not only the places, which is, you know, obnoxious for the owners, but it's also very much a problem for the people that go there. You know, it's really amazing when you think about someone, you know, there's a kind of a stigma of someone who's, you know, getting high or whatever, like just for fun. But there are a lot of people that are going to a marijuana dispensary and getting, you know, marijuana because they have serious diseases or cancer or glaucoma and so forth. And it's unbelievable if you're so sick and marijuana is helping you, and we're going to like send the federal government to raid the place and to arrest you and to hassle you. It's twisted. It's awful. What a waste.
I have a serious sleeping problem, Adam. I needed marijuana.
Yes, I understand.
I had to go get my card so that I could solve that problem.
But don't you think that the greater damage, let's say it that way, the greater damage would come from you smoking the marijuana or from you being arrested and taken away from your family and taken away from your normal day-to-day life and facing federal crime in federal prison?
Well, I think it's outrageous, and it's an incredible waste of money.
I couldn't agree more.
We're so broke. Our prisons are overflowing. We have more people incarcerated now, not only than any time in history, more people incarcerated than almost any country on earth, including the ones we consider to be totalitarian.
Yeah, we have more than China.
Right. And so, when are people going to wise up? It's time to stop putting people in prison for this stuff. It's time to stop busting people. And I do believe that as more millennials vote and as they move through the system, I think you're going to see more states legalize marijuana, and you're going to see less emphasis on government enforcement of these stupid laws.
It seems, unfortunately, though, that a lot of these arguments are never really concluded. You saw that recently they were carrying on about birth control pills, which makes no sense. They're still arguing people about abortion, right, which has been settled, God knows, 40, 50 years by now. I just saw this debate with the Prime Minister of Canada, who actually was defeated this week. His name was Harper, and he was talking about medical marijuana in Canada. And it was unbelievable hearing it. He's from a different age. He was literally saying how harmful marijuana is, and that as long as he's the Prime Minister, it will always be very, illegal and punished in Canada.
And so they booted him, which is what I think the millennials are going to do in this country. They're going to boot the politicians who still say stuff like that.
I think that is at least one of the reasons that he lost, and you could see how out of touch he was. But it shows how people hang on to these ideas, and they're not willing to easily part with them. I sit in criminal court, and you see
so many
people.
Well, that idiot, Chris Christie, who's now...
All right, well, there's a good example.
There's an example of someone who, by the way, he was in last place in the GOP presidential race.
Oh.
He's going around saying it, too. He's going to bust heads. He's going to put people in prison, whatever. Yeah, well, good luck to you.
Yeah, well, you see how the law enforcement works in that way, and, they show these things. It's very heroic on television where they have, like, a table, and they show all the cocaine and all the guns and all the money that they've confiscated and so forth. And it's all very exciting. Everyone gets very, turned on, like, look what our police are doing. But, it's also something that ultimately is very counterproductive. And our society really needs to think more carefully. Portugal is a very interesting country in Europe that actually legalized all drugs. And I mean hard and soft drugs. Anyone, you know this, right, Tom? Anyone caught was, would have been arrested, let's say, is offered treatment, is offered, the drugs at very low prices. They actually set some of the things, like the most that marijuana could be sold for was something very, very low, like $1 a gram, in order to take all the profitability out of it, And the idea then was to get treatment for the people. And they've shown remarkably that the use of drugs in Portugal had fallen tremendously. And, it's very, very difficult. If you see how the American system works, we are very crazy and we are very puritanical. And, they talk about religion. Everyone wants to hear the president come out and talk about how religious he is and what a Christian he is. And then the second thing he has to say is, how tough on drugs he's going to be and how he's a law and order president and all that stuff. And, I see that Christie isn't exactly, kicking ass in the polls.
Not kicking ass. He's in last place.
Fair enough.
Among anyone who has 1% or more.
All right. Well, I don't think that we're going to get any Northeasterners for president anytime soon. That's right. He's right there with Giuliani, so far as I can tell. But it's interesting what he says, I think, is wrong, but I think it certainly plays to a certain segment of America. You got to admit it, Tom. There are definitely people out there when Chris Christie comes on and says, you know, we're going to double down, we're going to make drugs illegal, we're going to increase the punishments, and they go, yeah.
Yeah, but I think the reason now that you're seeing pot legalized in Washington State, Colorado, medical marijuana legal in California, and I believe Arizona, I think the reason that's happening is because as younger voters are moving through the system, I think that they are putting the foot down, and they're putting the hammer down. They're saying no.
Right.
I really do believe that. And I think the more millennials participate in the system, the more likely it is we're going to see more of these laws fall. I think that you can't bullshit them with this kind of tactic that's used for people to get elected. I don't think that works anymore.
Do you think millennials vote?
Well, I put it this way. You remember, millennials are not all 18 years old.
Right.
Some millennials are in their early 30s. And so the result of that is that you have people now who own homes, who own condominiums, who they grew up, maybe they grew up in broken homes, or they grew up with a loose attitude about marijuana around the home. And I think yeah, these are people who do go out and vote. Yeah, not all of them, but the more who vote and the older they get and the more of a stake they feel they have in the system, the more you're going to see these laws go away.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I'm very excited.
Well, I got to tell you, anyone who knows about the criminal justice system, such as myself, who's been in court, knows how futile it is. I mean, it's the whole drug thing is such a waste of time. And I think, I hate to say it, a lot of the police know too. I think they're sitting there and you see the people coming into the system not being helped, the kind of roller coaster that they have and this revolving door thing. And you have people that really are screwed up, that are addicted, that could benefit perhaps from some kind of treatment or whatever. Or even what Tom said, you know, maybe just give them the drugs if that's what they want. I mean, maybe there's a certain percentage of people in any society that are going to be drug addicts. And instead of forcing them into being criminals or prostitutes or whatever, maybe you should give them what they want. Let them have it. Let them kill themselves. You
right.
know?
If they do themselves in, we won't have to pay to incarcerate them. We won't have to pay to hospitalize them. Well, we won't have to pay to rehabilitate them.
I got
to
say that incarcerating them is really a waste.
What does that even? What does that ever accomplish?
Nothing.
Ever.
Total waste of time and money. I was reading how much it costs to keep someone in jail. It's astounding.
And now they're kicking dangerous criminals out of jail to make room for more and more people with drug violations. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Yep.
And by the way, let's look at the success of legalizing marijuana in Colorado. First year of that law, $120 million in revenue.
Mm.
The tax on marijuana exceeded, in the first year, the tax on alcohol.
Wow.
In 1 year.
That's amazing.
And when you consider how much less you're spending on prison, how much less you're spending on spying on people or pulling them over or whatever, it's nothing but great. And we should all be following what Colorado did. We should be doing what they did.
Well, what do you think, Tom, comparing... I hate to say it, but it's what I believe, a relatively harmless drug like marijuana with some of the more harmful drugs like, I don't know, let's say cocaine or the powders like heroin. I mean, would you make those legal as
yep,
well?
I would. And
seriously?
Yes, because you know what? I think people should have their own personal responsibility for this stuff. And what has happened is by making this stuff illegal and making the punishment so severe, we've turned cities over the last 30, 40 years into armed camps.
Right.
I remember
cops being, with tanks, right?
I remember being in New York City in Manhattan in 1980 to 85, somewhere in there, when crack was running rampant.
Right.
You couldn't walk the streets at night. And people wanted crack so badly, they'd take any risk. They'd beat you over the head. They wanted your wallet. They wanted your paper money. They wanted whatever you had. People with five locks on their doors. You know, why should people have to live like we're all in jail? Let's let these people have all the heroin, cocaine, crack, crank, Special K, whatever they want. Let them have it so that we can live free. Because we are the ones living in prison as a result of this stuff, in order to protect these idiots who don't care about themselves.
That's fascinating. It really is. You know, but we have a society where you can't get penicillin without a doctor's prescription, right?
It's so stupid. You know, let's let people protect themselves. You give them the information, but if they don't want to follow it, or they, you know, when I buy an iron, it tells me do not use underwater. It's the stupidest. Now, what do you want to do? You want to make it illegal to put an iron underwater so that I can be protected from the iron? It's the stupidest thing ever. You know, I say with drugs, give people the information, okay? Heroin, addictive, probably kill you. Not a lot of 60-year-old heroin addicts out there. Now you know. And then if people want to ignore that, let them have all the heroin they want, long as they're doing it and they're informed. I don't care. I don't care.
Well, that's one of the basic things, you know, that they talk about in terms of the failure to warn and all this thing with, like, the iron that you just described. You know, we're sort of selling our world to the dumbest people, you know. There's a case where this little old lady had her little kitten, and the kitten got out in the rain. He got all wet, and so she put him in the microwave and, you know, turned it on, and the kitty exploded. So Granny saw that, had a heart attack, and dropped dead. She sued the microwave company.
So I thought she was dead.
Well, her family or estate,
okay.
Not her.
Just checking.
You're right. She was dead. But when you look at the directions on the microwave now, it literally says, do not put a live animal in the microwave. And so, you know, you have to do these things to warn everybody. And so you're sort of dealing with the lowest common denominator.
Right, but what are you going
to
do? Put people in jail because they put the cat in the microwave, the dryer, the washing machine?
No, of course not.
I mean, but you see, that's what it is with drugs. It's like these are issues where people are harming themselves. Okay,
right.
But why should we be protecting people from themselves?
Well, we should have a society where if we make cocaine illegal, right? Then, you know, we explain to people why it's bad or whatever. But obviously there are certain people that are going to take it anyway. So we need to give it to them legally, right? But you don't want everyone to be using it.
But everyone won't use it. You know, if cocaine is made legal, I have to be honest with you.
As an example.
I won't use it. I'm not interested. If I want to use cocaine, I am not worried about what the law is. And in fact, in the past, I did use cocaine, and I wasn't sitting there going, oh, my goodness, this is illegal.
I might get arrested.
When I wanted to do it, I did it. I don't want to do it. And so if they make it legal, it's not going to change anything for me. And by the way,
you don't think more people would use it?
No. I think everybody who wants cocaine now, they're all breaking into your house and stealing your flat screen
in order to buy cocaine.
I
understand, but what if it was really inexpensive? And it was very readily available.
Then it's very less likely that they're going to break into your house to steal what you have to buy cocaine.
Well,
and I think law-abiding citizens who do the right thing, they should be favored over people who don't care about themselves and want to destroy themselves.
Yeah,
I think that if people should live and be personally responsible. Those who do the right thing, they'll be getting the benefits. And those who do the wrong thing, they'll probably end up killing themselves, doing themselves in, hurting themselves. That shouldn't be our problem. Mm. I happen to believe that, you know, we spend all this money on drug education. Even when I was 13 years old in junior high school, I had to sit through these classes about what is marijuana, what is cocaine,
Tom,
what
Tom,
why
don't we have pictures, Tom? We need Tom Likas with the
squished-up
face.
God, there were no digital
cameras
when I was in eighth grade. But the point is, I had to sit through all that shit, and then even on top of that, when I lived in New York City, I had to put five locks on my door like everyone else.
Right.
And to protect myself from the people who wanted to steal what I had so they could buy heroin and cocaine. Why should I have to live behind bars? Let them kill themselves. I don't care. I'm more worried about murderers and rapists and people who do real harm to other individuals.
Violent crime.
But crimes where you yourself are hurting you yourself, I'm not concerned about that. I don't think we're so broke. I don't think we can afford to keep doing this, trying to help. Always in the guise of helping. We're helping people. We're not helping anybody. You know, just like we're not helping drunk drivers when they go to that alcohol reeducation class, we're not helping drug addicts. The government's not helping any of them. And I like the way they help some of them, too. You know, you got the heroin addict. They say, all right, you're addicted to heroin. That's very, very bad. So instead, we're going to make you addicted to methadone.
Right.
And how are you helping people? This is the stupidest damn thing I've heard. You know, just so we can say we didn't give him heroin, we gave him methadone, which is equally addictive to heroin and debilitating when you can't get your hands on it. So why not just give them heroin and be done with it? I personally advocate. I want to take one of those spaces on the freeway out by where the Goodyear blimp takes off over there by the 405. I just want to put a mountain of heroin and a bunch of syringes out
there.
And get it. And let everybody do themselves in. Are you kidding? All the criminals will kill themselves. Let everybody. You want to do yourself in? Great. But don't be breaking into my house to steal my things so you can go out and buy heroin or crack or Special K or whatever.
Hey, Tom.
You don't agree with me, do you?
Well, it's very Darwinian, I think. No.
But guess what? Darwin was a very smart guy. I don't think, by the way, and this is something that all the libertarians and the conservatives say, and I have to agree with it. You know, when they say, oh, the government's here to help you. The government's not here to help you. The government's here to take your money and to get your brother-in-law hired or their own brothers-in-law hired for jobs for which they have no qualifications. This whole industry of helping people with addictions, which the government is paying for, and we have more and more people addicted to drugs. It's the stupidest thing I ever heard of.
Yeah, well, it definitely isn't working. I'll give you that.
And I don't think they have an alternative. So I say, let the people who want to do themselves in, do themselves in. Go for it. You know what? Let the stupid people kill themselves. I'm fine with that. Let them become hopeless addicts. Why should I care about that? Yeah, I like helping people who want help. People who want to be saved. People who want a push, okay? Somebody who works hard and can't make enough money to survive wants to go to a class to learn how to get a better job. I you know what? I was once in what was called a CETA program.
Right.
1980 in New York City, I was paid $115 a week to show up 5 days a week and learn how to be a television news journalist. And so a private organization, like a private nonprofit organization, got a grant from the government, and a bunch of us came in there, and some of those people actually got jobs in the television business.
Right.
I would rather be spending government money helping people who want help and are willing to do things to get better or to get better at something than to be helping people who want to destroy themselves and throwing all this money and putting all the rest of us in danger.
Well, the other thing I saw on the other side of it was the show that we mentioned, Narcos, which showed the impact on Colombia and South America in terms of the drug cartels and so forth. And I think we should do almost anything to get rid of that, because that's horrible. And that also is very much today a very big issue in, like, Mexico and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the positive aspects of making drugs legal would be getting rid of those guys. And that's certainly a positive thing. But
right. Look at all we've gone through with Mexico, with the cartels. You want to put El Chapo out of business? Here's how you do
I'd
it.
Love to.
Make drugs legal.
But, Tom, this is a very puritanical country.
Well.
You know it, man.
Look, we're not talking about what we will do. I'm talking about what we should do.
Okay.
And what we should do is make drugs completely legal, and then you put the cartels out of business, at least in this country, in Mexico, maybe some other part of the world, but not here.
All right, I'm with you all the way.
Good. All right, take a break. We'll come back. You wouldn't believe how many phone calls we have that we've been letting sit on hold. We'll get it to everybody at 901-3000-TOM. Is that a call from Lompoc? Yes, it is. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. It's a bonus hour with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs at 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. 901-3000-TOM. That's the telephone number on this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. 901-3000-866. We're here with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. And here comes Brad in Lompoc on the Tom Likas Show. City I've been to many, many times. Hello?
Okay, I'll make it short and sweet because you already said there's a bunch of people on hold. My son's 17. He's going to be 18 in December. He was with a girl for 3 years, freshman, sophomore, junior, and over his junior, senior year of high school, they broke up. They're the same exact age. Shortly after breaking up, her parents made her go to the police department and report that our kids were having sex. She never said it was unconsensual. She made it a point that it was consensual. My son ended up getting called in to be questioned. We went down, questioned with the police.
Why? Don't talk to the police. Stop.
I didn't want them to, but my wife and daughter were like, you guys didn't do anything, just go. So
they were both under 18?
Yes.
Okay.
So
now,
what happened?
Major question. Well, the last thing the cop told us was they were going to send it to probation, and it was up to probation to see if they wanted to do anything. And all my question is there were no charges brought, so can anything be done?
Well, I don't understand. You're worried that the police are going to bring charges now, you mean?
Either now or if she mentions, like, if she says in the future, well, he's 18 now and we had sex.
Well, you know, this whole thing is very, very serious. And, you know, statutory rape is rape. It doesn't matter if she consented or not. What I think is going to get him off the hook is the fact that he was also underage. The real statutory rape is when the woman's under 18 and the guy is over 18. But what you're talking about, where he went to the police and spilled his brains to them or whatever.
No.
That's crazy.
He didn't spill his beans.
What? You said
he had gotten a text message from her saying something about, you know, I'm going to make your life a living hell because we broke up and all this and that. So when I didn't get to go into the police station, my wife did. When the cop first started questioning him, my son pulled out his cell phone and said, I think she's doing this because of this text message.
Wait a minute. Wait, let me understand something. The police contacted your son?
I think they contacted him first, yeah.
All right, so he was summoned to the police station.
Yeah, he was asked to come down because they wanted to ask him some questions.
Right. That's crazy, okay? Do you understand?
No,
you don't
go
to the police.
Understand.
You don't let your wife convince you to let your son go to the police. You don't go to the police. You don't talk to them. You don't cooperate with them. If they have a case to make against your son, you don't help them do it. The only thing that they're going to use with the information that your son gave them is the ability to prosecute him more effectively. Okay? So I don't know why he did that, and you've got to stop doing that. That's crazy. I hear it all the time. People talk about this. You do not do something like that. You don't clear your name. It's not going to clear your name. Your name is already clear. Your son, in statutory rape, could go to jail for 5, 10, 15 years. That's crazy. And because some crazy chick is upset and she's jealous because he dumped her or whatever, who needs that, man? That's nutty. So the idea that he's going to go there and he's going to prove his side and he's going to show the cops these videos on the phone or text messages that she sent him, that is beyond idiotic. Stay away, please. That's the biggest advice I ever gave. I said at the beginning of the show today, just don't. Just stop it. Nutty. Please don't.
Why, if I may ask, Brad, why didn't you hire an attorney when you got that call?
For God's sake.
Honestly, I don't know why.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't think it was a big deal, honestly.
Really?
When the police call you and ask you to come down for questioning, you don't think that's a big deal?
They're talking about rape?
I did, but I don't know how to explain it.
Okay, you're going to feel really bad.
I knew we had nothing to worry about.
No, that's not how it works, okay? If your son's facing prison, you're going to be very upset that you were stupid and cooperated. That's nonsense, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
And you sound like you're a grown guy. You're not 12 years old, okay? You got to do better than this, especially for your family. It's amazing to me when I talk to people, they're so involved in, you know, making sure people get checkups and get their teeth cleaned and get the right vaccinations, and then they do these crazy things where their children end up going to jail for 15 years. I mean, that's crazy, dude. Please. There's no upside. The cops are not your friends. Their job is to put people into jail. You understand?
Yes.
That's it.
They put me in jail, so yeah, I completely understand.
So let me ask you this. You've been into jail yourself?
Yes.
Then why not, from your own experience, why would you allow your son to walk off a cliff like that?
I don't have a good answer. I really don't.
All right.
I
appreciate your honesty. What can I say?
Yeah, I didn't want him to go, but, you know, my wife and my daughter were sure that nothing was going to happen.
Well, okay. What do they know? Are they attorneys?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, they're not.
So what do they know?
Your daughter is how old?
Oh, 26, I believe.
Really? And she graduated law school when?
No, she just internets everything. So as soon as
she had an opinion.
Yeah, pretty much.
Based on nothing.
Educated guess.
Right, based on nothing.
Okay. You know, you got to be the man of the house, right?
Yeah.
And you got to say to your daughter and your wife, look, you know, I love that you think this, and it's really great, but that's not what we're going to do. Okay?
Hang on one second.
Uh-oh,
would
now
you
we're
mind
here.
If I put...
Oh, put her on.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I'm going to get yelled at.
Put her on.
No.
Hang on.
Oh, this is going to be bad, Tom.
This is going to get real. Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. We went down to the station with him and my daughter.
Why?
And we didn't let him. He didn't tell them anything.
But why'd you go?
We found that so
because I didn't want him to come
alarming.
And arrest my son.
But why didn't you get an attorney? Why wouldn't you let the attorney?
I did call an attorney.
And what did the attorney say?
The attorney called down there and spoke with the guy and told him they were not allowed to Mirandize him. Or anything
that
like that,
is,
that they could
you,
ask all the questions they
nonsense.
Want, but he didn't have to answer.
Not allowed
anything.
To Mirandize.
We're talking about a real estate attorney here. Give me a break.
Okay. Well, anyways, he didn't say anything the whole time he was there.
Didn't he show the police a text message?
Yes, he did.
Well, that's evidence.
Yeah, evidence against her.
It doesn't matter. And, you know, the police have to prove the two of them even dated. How do they even know that? Do you know, before you walked down there, they didn't even know if your son and this girl had ever met?
Yeah, you confirmed it for them.
Well, I'm sorry. She just threw me back on the phone.
There we go.
Don't use logic on a woman, okay?
We told her, in case you were not listening, Brad.
I love it.
Before they went down there, the police did not even know that your son dated this girl or even knew her. So he showed the text message. He confirmed it. Now it makes their job that much easier.
Well, they did know they were together because she went ahead and told them they were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Unless they had a rape kit, they didn't know anything.
Whatever she said is just talk. But anyway, listen, it hurts me because you described that you were in jail, and that should have been a very bad experience, and I presume that's something you would never want one of your children to have to go through also. And I don't wish any bad on you. I hope this blows over. But the good advice is always put up or shut up, which is what you say to the cops. Your wife there was just saying that she didn't want him to be arrested. She actually may have put him in the position to be arrested. And the way it works, if she really did talk to a lawyer, the lawyer would have told her, no way do you go talk to the police. If they have the evidence, let them present it. Okay, you don't go there and sit quiet and tell them that you don't have the right to Mirandize.
Oh, yeah, my son had sex with her, but they were both consenting. It's not going to help your case.
Yeah, and the right to Mirandize, I don't know what she's talking about.
I've never heard that as an adverb or a verb before, Mirandize.
That was fascinating. So she's making up new law. She's making it fit what she needs. But again, you have to be the man of the house, and you have to tell her, this is not what we're doing. Junior is not going to talk to the cops. I'm hiring him a real lawyer, a criminal lawyer, not some friend of a friend of a cousin of a nephew, and try to protect him from this crazy chick who, by the way, you might be surprised, she may come up with something new. If they're both under 18, she may she may say that he did rape her or that she was drunk a couple times when he had sex with her and she didn't consent. Then what are you going to do?
No, I don't know then, because that's what I'm worried about, honestly. I'm worried about because he's about to be 18, so I'm worried.
I'm not talking about it. He can't. It can't be retroactive. So if he had sex with her when he was still 17, the fact that he turns 18 is not going to fix it, okay?
But I'm just worried about if they do it, if she comes around and they end up doing
Well, if your son is dumb enough 18. To get with her again after she made accusations against him?
No, I hope to God not.
Okay.
I don't think he is. He's been staying away from her ever since.
At his age, you know, young and dumb, right? And full of enthusiasm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm worried about. So, so as of right now, like, if they hand it off to probation, nothing can be done, though, right? Because there was no charges brought against them.
Okay.
It was just a report.
It's like somehow...
could you be on probation if you haven't been on trial? It makes no sense.
Well, that's what my whole thing was. That's what my argument was when they came back from the police station. They had said that the last thing the cop said was they're going to hand it off to probation, and then it's going to be probation thing. And then okay.
You can't, Adam, correct me if I'm wrong. Can you be on probation if you have not been before a jury or a judge?
They're repeating things that the police said to them that don't make sense, that only half-truths and whatnot. You don't take legal advice from police. You take legal advice from a lawyer. Okay? You got to stop telling me. I always talk to people and they tell me, well, they said to me and officer said to me. And I say, who's that? Who said to you? And they don't even know. You're talking about your son's future and his life and the possibility of him going to jail. And you're like taking advice from someone who's, you don't even have their name. Someone said to you, you heard from someone in the air said something that said something else. Are you kidding me? That's no way.
You always, listen up, Brad, you always, always hire an attorney. When you went to jail, did you have an attorney?
No.
Why not?
Because I knew it was just going to be a misdemeanor warrant that I failure to appear.
But you went to jail.
So honestly, Tom, it wasn't bad for me.
Oh, jail was good for you.
So now you have a criminal record. It's no big deal.
No, my high school, graduation night of high school, I got busted rolling a joint. They gave me a ticket for it, and I never went. And of course,
yeah,
if you
had hired me at the time, I could have gotten it dismissed.
So now your son is being accused of rape, and he also shouldn't have an attorney?
No, he should. I agree with you. Yes, he should.
Well, he needs to have one like an hour from now,
but,
like as soon as you get off the phone.
His mother doesn't want him to have an attorney. She thinks she has it all worked out.
Because she knows better, and she's going to down and explain it to the police. Because
he was un-Mirandarized.
Yes, or whatever.
I like that.
Listen to me, Brad. You need to get an attorney. You need to get an attorney immediately for your son. And that doesn't mean a real estate attorney or, some other kind of an estate attorney. You need to get a criminal attorney for your son. And you need to go down to meet with him. You don't talk on the phone to the attorney. You go down there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Good luck to you, man.
Seriously.
Makes me sad.
Please
be careful.
Well, I'm trying to keep him out of trouble.
Hey, well, here's how you do it. You get him an attorney, and you take him down to the attorney's office.
I agree.
That means you got to do it tomorrow.
Tomorrow and get it done.
Get it done. What are you trying to say? $500, $1,000 here? What are you trying to do?
That's what it's all about, man. Pennywise and
pound
foolish.
I know that's why they're not doing it. They think they're going to save $500.
Yeah,
that's what this is about.
I got to tell you, Tom, it's really sad for me when these things happen. I talk to people, and you see how their lives get sucked away by these cases. And they have a child that they love, and they ignore it as long as they can. And then the kid's getting sentenced to 15 years in prison, and they just – it's like the tidal wave. You know the pregnancy thing? It just happened. And you say to them, how could this have happened? And they say, I don't know. They usually call me after the guy's convicted. They say, well, my son, I'm so worried about him. I say, well, when's the trial? Oh, last week. I go, what do you mean? Oh, it's already over. He was sentenced to 12 years. And I'm like, well, what are you calling me for now? Now that it's too late? Jesus, come on. So you got to really think carefully about this, Brad, and you have to start dealing with it because it's serious stuff and it's not going to go away.
Yes, sir. I agree.
All right, do it, and then report back and let us know what the result is, please. No,
absolutely.
Oh, my.
I mean, I feel bad. I feel like I'm beating up on the guy, but at the same time, it's like, come on.
Well, somebody needs to beat up on him.
No, but he's not even listening to himself.
Yeah. And by the way, I know Lompoc intimately. And let me tell you something about Lompoc. The police have a lot of free time in Lompoc.
Really?
Lot of free time.
So there's been a lot of free time to chat up this girl about who fucked who and how old they were and all this other good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, look, they've got some gang issues in Lompoc. And they got
everything
some other...
in L.A. would people even notice, you know?
But, yeah, still, yeah, exactly. It's nothing like L.A. And so the officers have plenty of time to take a report, plenty of time to have a long conversation with people. That's how it is. By the way, I love getting my driver's license renewed at the DMV in Lompoc.
Like one person in line.
You walk in at number one, please.
Number one, please.
Is that you? You're next.
Oh, you're Mr. Okay, Mr. Likas, over here.
Step in. I love Lompoc for any number of reasons.
All right. Well, no criticism
of
Lompoc.
Great wineries, tasting rooms. Fantastic. I'm a big fan.
Well, they seem to have time on their hands to prosecute this guy's kid for no reason.
Oh, unbelievable.
I can't believe they're so caught up with who's having sex with who. Like, who cares? God's sake.
Well, I know.
And you see how the after the girlfriend breaks up with him, or he breaks up with her, I should say.
Right.
Then she wants revenge.
Because she knows in a community of that kind that she'll be heard.
Yeah, but why can't a woman say, okay, we dated for 2 years, we had some laughs,
because
and now it's over.
We're not talking about a woman, we're talking about a teenager.
No, but she's
got to
get
her ex-boyfriend.
A pound of flesh. She literally wants to put him in prison. Isn't that a bit much?
Yeah. Again, women are vindictive.
That's really
that is what they do.
That is particularly vindictive.
It is. All right, Adam. How can people get in touch with you?
You can give me a call toll free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check out my website, which has been recently redesigned, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email. I answer them myself, adam@adamlawyer.com.
There we go. Now, if you missed any part of the hour, don't forget there'll be another bonus hour coming up on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. You'll be able to hear Adam if you're listening to the show as a replay, if you're listening to it on demand. Don't forget, Adam Sachs, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Stick it in your rack. Let them enjoy it, too. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary, he's Dino.
Tim.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer.
You better believe it.
Beer Magazine, an Irishman gets on a plane, gets drunk, gets naked. According to the story, he starts waving his penis around. Gets arrested. Offers sex to the stewardess, by the way, too.
He wasn't done. This was an Irish friend of ours, and he was on a little flight on Sun Express.
A little flight.
And they caused the plane to...
make an emergency landing, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was that bad. A dude got crazy drunk.
He did.
Got naked, literally, like, just right there in front of everybody.
But
just started taking his underwear off and everything.
Well, other than the dick swinging,
yes,
the propositioning is pretty good, too. I mean, the whole thing.
You draw the line of dick swinging.
I mean, it's funny, but not on a plane. You're really asking for trouble.
You definitely are.
The Irish dude was on a flight from Dublin to Izmir and with a bunch of his friends.
Turkey, right?
Yes, yeah. Turkey. And it had been diverted to Belgrade, which isn't probably the best place to be. Yeah. So imagine your boys in prison or in a jail in Belgrade. Fuck that.
Witnesses say they saw the group drinking heavily at the airport bar before boarding the plane.
I wonder if they were on their way to a soccer match.
Anyway, I love it.
I think it's great. Fuck it.
I don't care what team is struggling. 5 former University of Louisville basketball players totally blowing the whistle on the situation between 2010-2014, where apparently a graduate assistant coach was buying strippers for parties, and apparently they're throwing the guy under the bus. What
yeah,
you?
That's
what
a
are
shame.
You doing?
They just should have just kept quiet. Who cares?
Said it was like a strip club there.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's how you get paid.
God.
What are you doing?
Why are you throwing everybody under the bus?
It's pretty uncool.
One of the players said he had sex with a dancer after our friend McGee paid for it. Andre McGee, that is.
Andre McGee.
Former graduate assistant coach, Andre. Andre paid for the... Great. Where is the complaining that has to be done?
A lot of these guys ended up playing at other schools, and they decided they're going to throw Louisville under the bus.
Stupid. Anytime outside the lines calls for it, your best bet is to stay quiet.
Now we got Rick Pitino. Like, you know, who knows what his future is going to be now?
It's dumb. It's stupid. It's dumb. Even when outside the lines called me 3 years ago, I knew not to say nothing.
Eh? About what?
Nothing.
Well, Manti Te'o's
fake girlfriend.
You were caught in between the two.
I was. Yes. I don't know, man.
Yeah. Master P.
I should have said something, because somebody I knew made $25,000 off a fucking picture.
Right.
That should have been me. I had the same picture.
Right.
I took the picture.
I told you not to be stupid.
Oh, I'd be $25,000 richer. God.
Master P's wife is suing her son.
Yes.
You understand what's going on here, apparently?
There's a reason.
Yeah, yeah. She's accusing Master P of, like, siphoning money through the son and hiding shit.
Right. Routing cash through the kid is the best way to go if that's what's happening. But Sonia's not having any of it. She's now forced to sue the chow in order to kind of get her portion of the money back. Her kid is some type of unwitting pawn. In all this, it's possible, but we'll see these divorces. And whenever it comes to P, he's got a lot of dough, and our girl wants a lot of it.
P means it.
Yep.
Yeah. An Idaho college's former financial aid director has been sentenced to 107 days in jail. Our boy was apparently offering students financial aid in exchange for sex, which I think is a fair deal.
I think it's a great deal.
I don't see a problem here. What's the deal? 107 days. So not so bad.
It isn't so bad, but it's that should have been considered, like the Louisville deal, it should have been a good deal.
Joseph Beckin, he's 37 years old, 3 years of probation, $10,000 fine.
God. And then there are websites that basically have, like, sugar daddies where this is done and they get paid for
it. So what's the difference?
I don't get
it. Tell me.
Dumb. Stupid, dumb.
Finally, a pig alert for you. Elsa Hosk is
one of
Victoria's Secret models. She got tiny, tiny titties.
It's fine with
me.
She has
tiny, tiny.
Yeah, that's great. Totally tiny titties.
Totally tiny, terribly tiny, totally tiny titties.
Perfect.
Yeah, but she, the rest of her body's all good.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
FunnyMoreNewsForGuys.com. That's going to do it for us. She's naked, 100% naked, by the way. She got her hand over her coach.
Who cares?
Be sure to check out the podcast. GaryAndDino.com is where you find it. It's a brand new show for you every single Friday. Just go to GaryAndDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
That was awesome.
It works, Snuggles.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.